to kind of to get everybody. So we talk and we teach like Jesus, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so we talk regarding we pass through the veil. Everything that we're reading, Jesus has stood at the door and knocked. He went, I heard that. Come on in. And when he comes on in, then he also goes, well, why don't I take you out to the kingdom? And so we go out into the kingdom. So we go to and fro, and we find pasture coming in and out. Okay? So unpacking that. So I'm going to share a couple of scriptures. I'm going to share a couple of encounters. Catch you up to date. Last week, which was August 9th, we shared that Sunday's teaching video from Mike Parsons. If you weren't here, you can find it in a few places on our website. It's he's YouTubed it. And what he was reporting and teaching on that the day before, so last Saturday, which was August 8th, is exactly the 40-year anniversary of the prophetic word that Bob Jones released regarding a billion soul harvest. That end, that age, that era has now finished. So last Sunday was the beginning of everything on the other side of the veil. Everything. Everything. And what does it mean to finish an age? It means that God has given an appropriate amount of time for the church to be trained, equipped, and raise up sons. And when that age does or doesn't raise them up, at some point in time, grace changes. Grace is pulled off of the old and put on to the new. Did I explain that well? Mike does an excellent job at doing all the teaching, so I encourage you to watch that video. So you understand. So that happened last week. This week, I've had experienced encounters that are plain old freaky. And for me, that's saying a lot, because I'm kind of strange anyways. Right? It's okay to say yes. I'm strange. I know I am. Yes, I know that I'm strange, and that's okay. God calls us peculiar, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yep, and I measure high on the peculiar. So there's a couple of scriptures that I want to at least use as what God is highlighting to me. I have a couple things that I'm going to suggest to you, and I'm going to share parts of my encounter, and then we're going to worship. Okay? So if you would jump to 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm going to read, I have a hard time just reading one scripture. I'd rather read a phrase, a thought. But there's one that I'm really going to kind of highlight on that I want you to sink your teeth into. So 1 Corinthians 2, and Paul is talking here, and he's talking about his reliance on the Spirit. And there's a few things that I want us to just kind of like go, yeah, we've heard this a bazillion times. Is this changing in our thinking? And I'm going to read 6 through 13. So, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Yet, we do speak wisdom. So, remember, it's a we. So, he's talking about more than from his perspective. We do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. That kind of sounds like everything that I just talked to you, the bringing this whole thing. So he's speaking a wisdom to those who are mature. Is that to everybody?
Nope.
Okay, speaking to those who are mature. Verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Whose glory is it?
Our
glory. Okay. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, or ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. So, entered into the heart. So, we read that a lot of times, which has not entered into the heart of man. Kind of like we read it and think like, well, it just can't enter. It sounds like it can't. Which eye has not seen, its ears aren't there. Because the heart hasn't been opened. It can, the wisdoms and the mysteries can only enter into a heart that's been opened. And then, eye has not seen, his ears not hear, because maybe we haven't been using our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Okay, keeping going. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Verse 13, highlight. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Yeah. Spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. That is how they are taught. So when we talk about some of these things, we're talking about spiritual thoughts, spiritual words. When, you know, like when worship and we have an encounter in a group, whether we're a small group or the corporate, you know how we get pictures and how we'll stand and go, oh, I think I see this. And somebody says, well, I sense this. And I sense, what is that doing? We're doing exactly that. We're taking the spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. We're bringing them together corporately to actually be led by the Spirit. Because we don't, like, Julie may not know, well, why do I have a picture of red shoes? The picture of red shoes means absolutely nothing to her by herself. But when she brings it in the spirit, spiritual thoughts, spiritual words, and then all of a sudden John comes and he goes, well, I see a blue box. Then we start getting a picture and are unpacking that which God wants to reveal, but it's a mystery. Her red shoes and the blue box is a mystery until they come together. You see what I'm after here? Okay, so remember that. Spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Now let's jump over to Ephesians 4, please. I'm just thinking where I don't want to start. I'm gonna start and then I'm gonna backtrack. So I'm gonna read in Ephesians 4, I'm gonna read 13. Paul is still talking here. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is our goal. The measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Okay? So, in the beginning of here, Paul in 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's really important right there? Unity of the Spirit. Is it unity in what we agree?
No.
Is it unity in our personalities?
No.
It's unity of the Spirit. So remember what Paul said in Corinthians, that he said spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Unity in the Spirit. Okay. In the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as all you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who over all, and through all, and in all. There's one body. One body of Christ. That one body is in heaven and in earth. It's in both. There's not supposed to be a separation. What were they separated before by? There's a couple of things. Think about it. And if we think prior to what we're chewing on now, what has separated that one body?
The veil.
The veil.
Jew and Gentile.
Denominations. What did Christ do?
Toward the veil.
One body, one new man.
One new man. He came to overcome sin and
death.
So death also separated. Because we, at some point in time, we didn't believe that they were alive. The hosts. I mean, we knew kind of in head knowledge that they were alive. But now we know because we engage with them and we've had them, the cloud of witnesses, the men in white linen, those are righteous men. What's the whole saying? Righteous men made perfect. Righteous men made perfect, which is one if you want to tag that over, you know, what are men in white linen? And I would say women in white linen too, but righteous men made perfect. But when the veil is torn, I mean, the veil is torn whether you have revelation that you can go through the veil or not, it's still torn, right? Jesus stands at the doors and knock, any man that opens the door. I mean, whether you actually open the door, what we found is some people have opened the door and they then proceeded to shut it. So they have Jesus nice here in the kingdom of heaven within them and he's all boxed up here. And he can't get out and he can't get to show them the kingdom because they shut the door. So we've discovered an awful lot. Which verse was I on? There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and through all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Okay, really highlight. I chewed on this one. So I'm making a suggestion on the other side of the veil. So according to Christ's gift, and we know the next verse, not this verse, but the next one. We all know that one. But why is that one before that one? Why is this next verse before verse 11? Some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. I'm asking the question, why? So, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Right? That is an Old Testament scripture, right? I would like to go look it up in the Old Testament because there's something a little bit different. So, somebody jump over to Psalm 68, 18 and read it for me. David's writing. When you get it, just read it out so we can all hear it.
You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts for men.
68:18.
You have received gifts for men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there.
So anybody see the difference between what I read in Ephesians 4 and Psalm 68? What's the difference? Well, yeah, he does mention that. That's not mentioned in Ephesians 4. It's around the gifts. What's the difference?
People.
In Psalms. And what does it say in Ephesians 4 about the gifts?
He gave them.
What's the difference of if he's ascended and he descended first, so where is he when he gave them?
Heaven.
He's in heaven where he gave them. Do you suppose that's where the gifts are for? I know. Bing! Okay. So he's referring to the gifts. I'll keep on going, then we'll jump back at that. Okay, verse 9. Now this expression has ascended, what does that mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So that's his purpose, to fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints. So if we're one church for the equipping of the saints, do the saints in heaven need to be equipped?
Isn't that an interesting thing?
So, for instance, so he descended down into Sheol, and remember I've explained to you that I've actually had encounters there, and there are people that are alive there, and those people aren't dead. They still have legislation on the earth. And he took them captives, which were called his. And so that part's already done. So if that part's already done, why is he giving out apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and the thing? And then I want to also highlight, if we're talking about a new age, to me, I look at those, there hasn't been an age of every single one of those gifts. That we as the church have cloned that gift, and the whole church has followed that particular gift. Am I wrong? We can look at a pastoral age. We can look at a teacher age. We can look at a prophetic age. We can look at the apostolic age. And we can also look at the evangelistic age, because what do you think Billy Graham was? Isn't that interesting? And did any of those supposed discernment of the scriptures ages mature and equip people to be saints?
Not adequately.
That is, if we were to discern it from that perspective. So what I'm chewing on is what happens, what would an apostle do if they're an apostle of the kingdom of heaven? And they're on this side of the veil. How would that look?
Well, by definition, an apostle is one who is sent by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sent from heaven to earth to do Jesus' work. From heaven.
Yeah.
What would that gift?
I don't want to wrap it around person. What would that gift do? Would that search out territories in heaven, and then what's going on in the spiritual realm in the kingdom of heaven, and then they go establish it
on the earth.
And the purpose of it is for the equipping of the saints.
Right.
It's the only purpose.
If he was coming from heaven, he would come in that territory in the earth to train and teach us, right?
Yeah.
According to what
is going on in
mm-hmm.
the spirit realm.
So we were taught that the word apostle means, like in the Roman Empire,
uh-huh.
they would go and take land, and the apostles would go and establish a claimant for Rome, and then they would begin to equip the people to live like a Roman.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what the apostolic meant. And so it's like we're taking territory and then equipping the people to live like
building it. Which I absolutely, that's an excellent description, but I'm going to take that description and say that description needs to be resident in heaven.
Right.
And that's where we would see the gift of an apostle. So a gift of a prophet would basically tell you, because they're seeing, and the purpose of the prophet is to see the spiritual realm, and then you're supposed to empower somebody else, okay? See, now you go see. It's a gift. It's not a person. So I was just chewing on that because I was going, why is the ascending and the descending scripture ahead of it? And it changes from Psalms to this because he received gifts. Well, now what do we do? Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. He's receiving gifts. How can you receive a gift if you actually don't go into the domain in which he is? I'm just trying to does Christ come down here and give me something?
I think he says, come up.
He's already finished his work down here on this side.
Yes, he is. The kingdom of heaven is in me. Does he give it to me in there? See, I'm just trying to, just like those. So the fivefold as we have known it is not a government. It is literally a university. Or a, what's a trade school? And we've used them as a government in other ages. So I'm just trying to look at what we've walked through and say, it's not that way anymore. It's just not that way anymore. Okay. Did I finish my thoughts? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, just before that, didn't you say there was one body? So would that tell me that the body in heaven also needs building up too? So what, you know the infinity sign? The eight, right? And right here's where it converges between the was and the was and the was is. So in the Garden of Eden, and God's garden and earth, originally there was that convergence before sin. That's why Adam could walk with God, because they could walk in and before. So when you remove that separation, the separation of the veil, if you remove death, because Jesus did, so I declare I'm removing it, then really, how many people are in this room right now?
Well, uncountable.
Do you, just starting to getting the grasp of one body, church together, and that actually we're including them. We've known that for a while, but just to the gravity of including it, that they're excited for us to get together too so they could come because they knew they were welcomed.
Yeah.
That's church.
So you're saying that there's no distinction here and there. It's all one.
It says it clearly.
Yeah, it's one body.
So, but we're taking spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, and that's how we figured it out over the course of what? Us being together. We figured it out on our own with spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. We actually celebrated being weird, odd, and peculiar and got to this place where we went, wow, the whole family of God is present. We did that. We opened the door, let him come in, and then we went out. And he showed us a whole bunch of things. Isn't that amazing? I mean, sometimes the gravity. So I want to share quick my encounter that just like, So this week, since that particular, the end of that, the era changed, but that was the end of a prophetic word, because God always cuts some grace. So I've had a couple of encounters this week with God is messing up my mind regarding trans relocation. So let me give you a little bit of spiritual thing. Trans relocated, Mount of Transfiguration. There you go. Peter, James, and John were trans-relocated up when Jesus went in, and that's why they saw Moses and Elijah. And what does that signify? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus signify a bench in heaven, a three government representing Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so God could shadow Peter, James, and John. And that's the convergence of infinity. The was, the was, and the was is. Right there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Because it looks like heaven, and so he can come and overshadow it. So I was just trying to give you that, just a quick nutshell here, because, you know, transfiguration location really weirds you out. I'm sorry, it just does. It weirds you out. Use your spirit and your soul. So your soul is, how would I put it? Would you look that scripture up in Hebrews 12? Because I didn't, you know what I mean? About the maturing of sons to discern the difference. No, Hebrews before the dividing of the soul and spirit. So our soul is kind of caught in this place. And depending on our spirit was always meant to be on the outside, not on the inside. Our spirit was always supposed to be on the outside leading us. You got it?
Yeah, Hebrews 4.
Okay, thanks.
12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Thank you. So remember what we had read earlier. Remind me. In Corinthians, I have to go back and look. My main right is
Corinthians 2:6-13.
Thank you. Thank you very much. For 11 says, for who among knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man? So that's, thank you for helping me out with that, Joe. So that's partnering with that. The spirit of the man, your spirit knows you, just like God's spirit knows his. And if we're one body, one spirit, then all of this, because I'm one with Christ, it's all meshed together. Again, it looks like infinity. You go, woo, like this, okay? To the spirit of man. So your spirit sometimes, on your journey of transformation, and that's what's so different about us, is that we have always, always, in our core value, is to be transformed. You don't come to this intimate little church if transformation is not written on your heart to be like him. And so your spirit sometimes can get confused because your spirit can get attached with your body, so it acts fleshly and the body is leading, versus your spirit being connected with your soul and your spirit still leading, but your soul goes both ways. So in the separation of the soul and the spirit, so in your practicing of trans-relocation, your spirit is outside of time. Your spirit really can go anywhere, just like, because, you know, we're our Father's kids, and he is omnipresent. So when we get a clue, our spirit, it can be anywhere that the Father is, and where is, isn't he? But that takes something for your understanding to grasp that. So that's why you need the seven spirits of God, so they can train us and tutor us and we can figure it out. That's what we're doing. Taking spiritual thoughts and spiritual words and figuring it out. So your spirit begins to explore the things of the spirit. And your soul, because, you know, when we gather in a group, we'll go, well, what did you sense? Or what did you feel? What's your picture? Well, how does Sandy get a feeling? How does she do that? Because her soul told her. Because her soul got it from her spirit. This is what's going on right now in this realm. And she feels it. So, see, they're talking. So at some point in time, the body will go too, because Jesus' body went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, so did Peter, James, and John. I'm not there yet. Working on it. So I just tried to give you a little squash teaching, okay? Just a little squash. So, weird. I mean, just totally weird. So it was Wednesday night, and I had a dream encounter. And it's 1:30 in the morning. I wake up, And Justin Abraham, who is a speaker that we're familiar with, and he teaches on the other side of the veil too. And he's really wild and crazy. He's fun. And so I had a dream that he was teaching in our church. But it didn't look like this, but he was teaching in our church. Because I knew it was our church. I knew it was us. And he was teaching. And so the dream was pretty exciting. There were a few other people there. And I went, oh. And so I got up. Oh, get up, Kristen, get up. Journal it. Right? Get up, get up, get up. That's why I knew it was 1:30. And I walk out to grab my iPad, which is on my dining room table, you know, in my eating area. And I walk out, and I look, and here's my patio, you know, and I have my, we have our little tent covering out there. You guys see my patio?
Yeah.
And the slide canopy and the sliding glass door. And I'm walking to the table to get my iPad, and I look through the sliding glass door, and guess who is sitting in my patio? Like Sandy's sitting there. I'm not joking you, Justin Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had a few, we've had a few spiritual beings come through, you know. We know that's okay, but this person still has legislation on the earth. That's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're alive and their heart's still beating. in the bodily flesh. And sitting there just like, about as far away, it's like Sammy sitting there. And I did all the things. Are you awake, Kristen? I'm looking at the light. Ooh, what's that, a reflection in the light? I'm doing all that stuff because I'm totally freaked out. Me. I'm freaked out. That's also. And he's talking away. I don't know who he's talking to, and I can't hear if he's. And there's a lands here. He's got a plaid short sleeve shirt on with jeans. And he's sitting in my backyard. Yeah. And I went, oh. So by faith, I go, oh, I got to go out there. What's going to happen when they go out there? You try wrapping your mouth about that when you walk out there. At 1:30 in the morning. I got the peculiar going 110%. And so I went, okay, God, I can do this. And so I go, and I open the sliding glass door, step out, and he's not there.
Mm.
I went, oh, just your imagination. And I closed it back up, and he's there again. I did that about 3 times. And every time I went like this, he was there again. I just, oh, this is totally freaking out. God, wait. How do you go to bed after that? And so I chewed on that. I had something to chew on when I was over helping Robin Shay. What do you do with that? What do you do? How many of you can tell me about an experience like that? Help me out. Who can you call? Ghostbusters? No. I mean, really. Can I go down to the local pastor in here? Will somebody else give me some counseling about it? Yeah, sure, they'll give me counseling.
Yeah.
You know, so spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, we're learning about something that it hasn't been experienced that Jesus wants us to experience. So anyhow, I chewed out, like, well, why was it different? And I knew it was, I was stepping into another realm. I knew that. I got that part, you know, the glass, and I knew that I was stepping into another realm. And I went, oh, gosh. And then the next day, my friends Peter and Penny Hanselick from Atlanta, which are on the other side of the Ark, remember? When Mike was here and he was going there, the Ark, which is the Ark. So let me put the Ark in. So an Ark, when the Ark of the Covenant, the two angels there, one was Lucifer fell. So there needed to be ark over the revelation of the mercy seat of God. So God put us there because Lucifer fell. God put us there. And when we're there, we create an ark. And then we see, look upon the revelation of God. That was another minute. Squished. So they created an ark across the United States because God does have the United States on his heart. And that's why he's raising up the government of the kingdom to be able to deal with it when the rest of our government goes, kaboom! We'll be ready. So Peter and Patty on the other side of the ark, and so I get up in the morning with this Justin Abraham thing. I've seen him, but I haven't. I mean, I've met him, but not in a formal exchange of names. So it's a real, you know what I mean, the difference. So I get up and I open up my iPad, I had a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden I see this posting from Peter and Patty Hanselick, and they're hosting Justin Abraham's in September, and I'm going, okay, now I'm really weirded out. So anyhow, I sent the little notes of my encounter to Peter. He goes, "Whoa, that is freaky." He goes, "Is it freaky good or freaky bad?" It's freaky good, but it's freaky. So anyhow, next day, yeah, everybody go out to work at Rob and Shay's and help them out and have some great encounters. So the next day, I have another dream encounter. And so I know that I'm in heaven, and all of a sudden, I'm at a funeral. And I'm at the end of a funeral, and I'm in this huge, like, old-fashioned-like funeral, and I'm in the parking lot, and there's a mausoleum there, and everyone's dressed the nines, all the guys are in suits, the ladies are in your pastel suits with your pastel hat, I mean, to the nines, the regular funeral. I don't know who died, but it's a funeral. And all of a sudden, the funeral, I go, my mom and dad are there, I go, okay, well, we gotta go, because I was so concerned, I have to get to church, I have to get ready for things for church. I'm at this funeral, I have to know who died. And so I go out to the parking lot, and my car is a red convertible. Well, if anybody, excuse me, have we talked about, but what color are my vehicles in heaven usually?
White.
See, look, you all know that. It was red. What's up with that? And I get in this little convertible car, and here's my folks. They're sitting in the back seat, and this weird guy comes in a plaid suit with wingtip shoes, and not all of the things are firing up here, and he gets in my front seat. And it's just totally distraction. So when you have an encounter, a dream encounter, we begin to learn that this is what you're traversing in the spirit realm, and it comes through your spirit to your understanding. It comes out as pictures and creates a story, and it takes some understanding and learning to learn, oh, what did my spirit do while I was sleeping? So I'm telling you what my spirit was doing while I was sleeping. And so finally, you know, I'm going, hey, because I knew that this particular odd person belonged to the church that was hosting the funeral. This is your problem. Hello, can you please remove this person from my car? Distraction, see, get it? So finally, nobody else would take responsibility for him. And I literally reached across, opened the door, and shoved him out, and he just got in somebody else's car. Isn't that kind of like distraction is? I'm just going, well, if I can't mess with you, I'll go mess with him. So anyhow, then I get in the car, and how many of you ever been to a really big funeral, and all of a sudden, can you just, like, immediately get out of the parking lot and get onto the... No, it's packed up with other people trying to get somewhere to go. And I have to get to church, and I have to get organized, I have to get things ready for church. See, we're so human in the spirit realm. It's all processed in a while, so I go, oh, I'm this spiffy little red convertible car, you know? And then I went, oh, shortcut. And so I thought, I could drive on the sidewalk. But there's just a couple things in the way. And there was one of those Goodwill donation truck things there. There was a garbage can, and then there was a child's vintage jacket laying on the sidewalk. Drove my little red car over thing. Moved the garbage can, and I picked up the child's vintage, you know, little peplum ones, like made out of wool, darling, perfectly laid there. Picked it up, put it in my spirit. My spirit knew what to do. I didn't know what to do. Got back in my car. So, heading for the freeway exit, right? And then all of a sudden, because my folks were in the car, next scene, total white light. And my mom and I are holding each other like this in the car. I was totally aware that mom and I were just holding on to each other, and the whole thing is like white light, woo, white light. Yet my understanding was thinking, and I am in total white light. So I'm sitting here trying to process it. I went, oh, we must have had an accident, and God has translated us out. That's what my thinking was. And mom are holding on each other like this, and we're in white light. Okay, next scene. All of a sudden, we're not in this white light thing. I didn't necessarily see my, and all of a sudden my mom, and some of you met my mom, but she has a problem with her hip, has a problem walking. And all of a sudden, here we are, and I'm starting to sing this song, and we come out of this white light, and all of a sudden, I know it sounds totally weird, I look at my mom and she goes, I'm healed. I'm healed. And she starts jumping up and down. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And I'm just singing this song in my head. Well, then I wake up, still singing the song, which is written right there today. Melody, the little words, and same thing that Julie read. Right smack from heaven. But it took me a while. I chewed out and I go, why was it a red car? That just freaked me out. My cars are always white. Wasn't my car. Whose car do you think could be a red car? Just off the top of your head, whose car do you think could be a little spiffy red convertible? Jesus' car. I see a car. It's just the vehicle of transportation in the spirit realm. When it goes through my understanding of my brain, it comes up as a red car. And then this morning, because I was going, geez, what am I going to talk about? How do you talk about all this stuff? Should I talk about this stuff? And I grabbed this because I thought it meant my mom. How do I spell mother again? Sandy, tell me, under mother, what is the very first?
The church.
It's the church. See? I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. So I declare today to you, in our journey, in our adventure, taking spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, learning and being taught by people who are alive in heaven. Because when we all started this thing, when we all started and walked our journey, and then all of a sudden we came and converged together, my heart the whole time was, the church needs to be healed. I saw all the crap. I saw all the little leadership pastry. I saw everybody you ran into had a different experience about how they'd been hurt, bruised, beat up, spit out, not treated white. I mean, we've all had that. But I declare today to you, in the presence of all of heaven, that the church is healed. Why is it healed? Because we love each other. We've walked through this journey. And I just started to bawl. And it's kind of interesting because last Sunday we was just starting up a new age. Now, is the whole church that we know healed? No. I'm talking about our little family. It's pretty bold to say, I think we got it right, guys. And now we can begin to increase. Because it took us a while to figure this out, to measure spiritual thoughts and spiritual words and to figure it out. And act peculiar, because you know I don't act peculiar all by myself anymore. Can't help it. Now we act peculiar together. And we actually figure out where we're at, where we're going, what we're doing, who's here, because we're a family. So I declare today to do that the was, that part is officially healed. And I'm asking you for help, but I want us to set our understanding that when we gather corporately, we're gathering with all of heaven. And that's not just a theological statement. We're gathering with heaven. And it's their delight because we have legislation on the earth. Did I give you something to get your brains wrapped?
Mission accomplished.
Good. And do you know what I figured out from, I was kept passing, well, why through my sliding glass door could I not encounter, engage Justin Abraham? Or see, I would have stepped through to where he was. I kept going, well, why? Why didn't it work? Why didn't it work? Because I was bold. I opened the door and kept, I was bold. And this morning I figured it out. Well, Kristen, when you stepped through, you wanted to see. And because you didn't see, you turned it off. Instead of stepping through what I knew was there and just engage it even with, like this, engage it anyhow. And I didn't. Learning lesson. Because we do that. If we stop, well, if I can't see it, then it must not be there. But it was there from here, and so I should have just gone, okay. And then I have a feeling, because God's trying to develop other senses. How else do you figure this stuff out? Unless you do it again and again and again, practice, 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 practice. All right, give me a few minutes to ask questions pertaining to what we've talked about here. And then we'll worship.
One interesting, and I believe what you said was true. You said that Jesus went down to Hades.
Sheol, Hades,
Sheol.
He descended to the lower, that says the lower parts of the earth.
And he brought up captives,
mm-hmm.
that were captive.
Mm-hmm.
That include hell and paradise. He brought them up.
When you say paradise, are you talking about Abraham's bosom? I haven't had an encounter there, so I have no experience to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Hades, hell, is a different place than Sheol. Because Sheol, I don't have the scriptures floating around here, but if you look up Sheol, that it is the place where the soul and the spirit, the unregenerated spirit, are caught. But they're still very much alive. They're not... So when I look at my understanding, when I went there and was shown there, I walked around and go, I know this person. And so, I mean, what do you do? Again, what do you do in this situation? So, oh, well, Jesus took them out. Why can't I? And so I did, and I've taken two people out.
And their spiritual condition is and when Jesus led captivity captive, he emptied that dominion and brought them to heaven. And on the way, they were seen in Jerusalem that these people had died, and
mm-hmm.
they were seen in Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
at that time. And then what became of them, I'm not sure, but he led captivity captive
mm-hmm.
to the third heaven or whatever they.
Yeah, we actually don't number many more because there really isn't any difference in spiritual. So I have a question for you to help me with that, Joe. It's because I saw people here, there, that were alive. When I say they have legislation on the earth, that means that you have breath here and your flesh is still.
No.
You have legislation on the earth. If you die and go to heaven, if, I say if, because it's totally a choice. If you die and go to heaven, you have legislation, but not on the earth. That's why they're partnering up. That's the purpose of giving mantles that have passed away to people who have legislation on the earth. So Enoch still has legislation on the earth. All those people that were raised from their grave, resurrection, have legislation on the earth.
When you say legislation, to me that
spiritual authority.
Making laws or whatever. But also
spiritual laws. Kingdom laws. They have kingdom legislation, but because they actually have the body, So all the people that were raised on that day from the graves, their body was resurrected, and so they can go back and forth between both realms. So that veil between the infinity sign, between the was, and is, was open to them, and they can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, when you said that was very interesting, when you said that he's taken, that there now is all the captives he took captive, it's void now of those.
Is it void and empty? I wasn't familiar with that, because I saw people. So that's why I went, where did you see where he said that he emptied it?
Well, I'm thinking it's like he paid the penalty of sin. He paid for the penalty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, done. The whole world is saved. Even Hitler, even the worst guys we can think of, however, they didn't receive the gift.
Right.
They had salvation, but they didn't receive the gift.
Yeah.
So they were saved, but they didn't take it. Okay, so the captives take the captives to captivity. So maybe by principle, he handled captivity too.
Yeah.
He handled captivity. And some of those, like you say, through Jerusalem, we're seeing in Jerusalem, they pass through.
Yeah.
But there may still be people, just like there's still people in their sin because they haven't received the gift of salvation.
Yeah.
So
they changed their realm.
Because they haven't, whatever.
Yeah.
Like principle or such.
But I didn't have any clue about that before I had an encounter. I had no clue about it. And so it's not so, Joe, let's step through heaven, go through. No, I was led there by Jesus. And that was that's the only thing, remember, we go up and down. We don't go to and fro. You can go to and fro at some point in time, but we go up and down in the spirit. We use what Jacob's ladder, because you guys know that we have a spiritual elevator here. And it's been witnessed by other people. They've come in, and we have two sentinel angels. And so we actually have a structure. And it's I was taken there, and I was also taken to the enemy's trophy room. But I don't really want to get into that today. But it was really interesting.
Should we be concerned about understanding Sheol and the distinction from Hades? In other words, my mind's wanting more description of what Sheol is.
Go read, pull up all the scriptures that have to do with Sheol. That is also, there's other words they use that means the same thing, Sheol, but it's different from Hades because there's no returning from Hades. But, I just acted like Jesus, and I took two people out, and I'm not going to tell you who those two people are, but I know that I've heard testimony and testimony again of the transformation going on in their life. I mean, what else do you do? If Jesus shows you something else, the only thing you draw from is going, like, I'm going to act like Jesus. He took people out. But that's not what today is necessarily for. But the church is what we know as church. We have traversed through. The church is changed. It's healed. It's healed. So if the church is healed, all of our experiential of church is healed because we love each other. Then when we encounter others, because there's more of the Joshua generation, then now we can extend healing to them. Any other?
That government on earth, he gave Peter the keys to, was it?
The kingdom.
Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. To the church.
And to forgive sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly what he did when he was here. And continues to do that. It isn't like, oh, it's a one-time deal.
I totally agree with you.
So somehow that mentioning how that spiritual world is we're the church, we're all one,
uh-huh.
Whether you're in heaven waiting for a particular time on the earth to come, or you're on the earth. government, and you work together, people in heaven working together with those who are on the earth, working together for the same purpose.
Absolutely.
So we're the complete church.
Yes.
Without both, we're not the complete church.
Absolutely. Very well said. Very well said.
So what was that book that you looked up, Mother? What was the name?
Oh, this is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite. It's a dream dictionary. And, you know, sometimes, most of the time, so the purpose of, okay, because we've even gone, and we're going to worship, so we've even gone to a point where, you know, dreams, visions, prophetic words, okay? But remember, and we put this tool up here, when anything that scripture law first mentioned, that's just a given. It never changes. Never changes. That's part of the 12 laws in Jerusalem. That never changes, okay? But the point is we're not setting up a government that you need me to give you a prophetic word because you can go get your own. You really don't need me to interpret your dreams. They are yours and they belong to you. And the whole thing in the transformation is go and sit down with the Father, sit down with wisdom, whoever you want to sit down with, and say, what is that? What's my spirit doing? And figure out what's he trying to tell you. And remember, we've also learned that your dreams are your practicing being trans-relocated. So that's why your dream's different. Some of them just seem to be a reflection of kind of the things that you're working through in life. That's pretty clear. Sometimes it feels like you went somewhere. You did. And God's practicing trans-relocation. That's why Dawn and I have this little kind of under-the-cuff joke, not to be concerned if I disappear. We do.
Who's Dawn going to call when you disappear?
Okay, so what am I doing? We might laugh about that, you know? Okay, but a few weeks ago, I actually, and I'm just sharing my experiences. I'm not any different than you. It's just that I'm kind of, you know, I'm meant to be kind of tenacious.
You're bold and aggressive.
Yeah, and that's who I am. And bold and aggressive, I'm perfectly happy to open my sliding glass door and be peculiar, and we're going to learn by it. So that you can open your sliding glass door and be peculiar and learn and just get her done, right?
She doesn't mind being bold and peculiar and alone. I want somebody with me.
Yes. Okay, but if you kept on reading in Ephesians, thank you, John. And then I really am going to, we are going to worship. If we kept on going in Ephesians 4, where is it going? I'm going to say this one little part, and then we're going to worship.
13.
I know, but I have another thing that I wasn't going to talk about. Okay. Ephesians 4:16. I'm going to, just because he said that, I'm going to, okay? Because we're all together. We like people to go to. Ephesians 4:16. From who the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. Not just the person with the big mouth. Every joint supplies. And what's the joint supposed to supply? According to the proper working of each individual part that causes growth. Growth. See, I just had to add that from that. Causes growth. We always talk about being knitted together, right? But if our knitting together does not, if your joint and my joint don't cause growth, we got to do something about it. That's a whole nother day. But it's just because he said that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to worship?
Yeah.
So, when I get to, it's a little farther out, when I get to that one song of
Bless the Lord,
that is the, huh? Yeah, but we don't need to do it first. We're going to do some other ones in it. So when we get to that one, that was the one that when I was in that place of light, because I really couldn't see anything, and I was holding on to my mom, I was holding the church, that's where that song came in, and when I stepped out, the song was still here. So it's literally, I can say, I mean, I've received songs, you know, da, 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 but it has been brought from heaven to earth. And I've written other songs, but this is the first one that I've actually encountered there, and it stayed in my brain and went here.
Where are you going to start?
It's beginning, and I'll tell you what song I'm doing. Okay.
Because that was the beginning.
Oh, well, they're not in order because I did a couple change up. So, my encouragement to you is when in our worship, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And your worship immediately, because the blood of Jesus is powerful and has not lost its power. So if you got stuff to offload, go, here you go, and step through. It is not a big to-do. That's his ministry. If he's already taken care of it. Receive your forgiveness. Receive, if you got to offload it, just like Hannah's testimony last week. Switch your heaviness. Give him your burdens, cast all your cares, and step on through and be, act like a son. See something, feel something, experience something. Walk around the room if it helps you. Take notes in your brain. Every joint fitted together that causes growth.
For those of you that don't like to get up and walk around, your spirit can do it without you moving. There. But I find that it helps in practice to practice doing it. Okay. I'm going to need a drink of water. Thank you.